Mojave Beach Productions. Soar on the wings of imagination as Mojave Beach Productions present
227 Treehouse Lane, high above common ground where no one lives but you and your imagination.
It was nearly midnight when the big old creature raised his head and he listened intently. It had been drinking from an underground spring in a cave when it thought it heard something, but all was quiet. So it went back to Laughing Water. Well, somewhere down in the valley, dogs were barking and then they howled, and the creature, he lifted its head again. It was alert now. It bared its long, curved teeth in a ferocious snarl. And then it sniffed. It sniffed at the breeze. Then it stepped into the cool water and it came slithering and wiggling out of the cave. And then it disappeared right into the forest trail. Now gather around real, real close. Come on, come on. I want to tell you this story. Now listen to this, because this is a scary story. And it's about a monster and a ghost. Now you have to remember, it's all just make-believe. But sometimes we can have more fun with our imagination than with all the toys in the world. So here we go. Robert Wheeler was a teacher, and he had a 12-year-old daughter named Kathy. Well, on this particular night, he was out hunting with his two dogs, Duke and Blackie, when the animals stopped, and they stared at something. The hair on the back of their neck, it just stood straight up, like they saw something that just scared them half to death. Well, all at once, they started barking like crazy. Robert figured they'd seen a possum, but they just kept right on barking. And then a cloud came across the moon, and Robert couldn't see his dogs at all. And when he called to them, Duke, Blackie, well, they answered with a chorus of yips and howls that came right out of the darkness, and Robert started running toward the sound. He just was running and running and running as fast as he could go through the thick trees and the underbrush, and suddenly the clouds parted, and the moon shone through, and he could see all the way down to the river. And rounding a curve, he saw Blackie crouched on the ground, and Blackie was just shaking like a leaf. And there, real close by, was Duke, and he was growling real low, like he was telling something not to dare come any closer. What in the world did they see? Well, as Robert crept up to them, the unseen creature, remember that thing back there I was telling you, it was lapping water and all that stuff? Well, he must have heard him, and he sneaked away, because the dogs, they stopped shaking and growling, but they sure didn't go off and chase it, no way. Something had spooked him okay, but Robert couldn't figure out what it was. Oh, Duke and Blackie, they weren't afraid of anything. Not man, not beast. Well, anyway, not usually. But Robert, well, he finally turned around and he headed home. But he felt really bad, because the whole thing reminded him of something that happened when he was a boy. Years ago, Eddie, that was his little brother, was with him and his dad on a hunting trip. But somehow the boys got separated from their father, and a big black bear almost got Eddie. Yeah. Well, even though Robert had a gun, well, he's just too scared to move. He couldn't even lift a hand to shoot. The big bear showed his fangs and he stepped closer to Eddie, and all Robert could do was just sort of go whoop in fear. And at the last moment, I mean just before that bear slashed out with its sharp claws to rip Eddie into pieces, their daddy came running through the woods and he shot that bear dead. Well, his dad never said anything, but Robert, he just felt terrible. He'd let his brother down. He'd been a big coward, and he had let fear paralyze him. And he always vowed that if he ever faced anything like that, he'd be brave. He would never, never, never let himself be scared again. Well, of course, that was a long time ago, but this thing with Duke and Blackie, you know, it reminded him of it. So Robert made himself not be afraid of the thing that was terrifying his dogs. Oh, he'd heard stories about the mountains being full of wolves and panthers and all sorts of wild beasts, but he had never seen any, and he wasn't sure he believed those stories anyway. The next day, he was having lunch in town when somebody told him about a strange creature that had been seen on the street the night before. Yeah, it had been spotted over by the drugstore just around the corner from the bank building. Well, about that time, a friend of Robert's came into the cafe where he happened to be, and they started talking, and guess what? The friend said he not only saw the horrible creature, but he fired 50 shots at it with his gun, and yet it escaped without a single wound. Oh, well, it sure was a mystery. What was the thing in the woods last night? And what was the thing his friend had seen in town? Could they be one and the same? On Robert's way home, he remembered that the cabin he and his daughter Kathy lived in needed some water. Oh, he and Kathy had plenty of drinking water, but they were kind of running low on water to bathe in. So he decided to stop by the cave and dip some from the river. Remember that cave where that slithery thing was? Well, a lot of the town people got their water from that river because it was so pure and so cool. And as he headed down the street, a friend named Mike came hurrying toward him. And Robert could see that Mikey was all excited, and Robert asked what was wrong. Oh, there's a terrible monster over by my house, Mike said. It just comes and goes like a ghost. Oh, Robert remembered how afraid Duke and Blackie had been last night, and he wondered if maybe that's what they saw. You know old Jane Harper, Mike asked, and Robert said he did. Well, Mike said, did you hear about the creature who attacked her? Yep. She had just gotten back from a visit with friends when she noticed something beneath the porch of her house. Well, she tried to get inside, but it just sprang right out at her, and it almost knocked her down. But she managed to pull herself to her feet and run inside, but it almost got her, that's for sure. Nobody knows what kind of thing it is, but everybody in my neighborhood's staying inside at night, and they're keeping their doors locked. Robert bit his lip. What in the world is this thing? Mike didn't know. Your guess is as good as mine, he said. But it doesn't sound good, does it? Well, Robert agreed it certainly did not sound good. Mike looked around to see if anyone could hear him. And then he whispered to Robert, I probably shouldn't say this since you're a school teacher and all, but some people, well, they say it's the ghost of the ancient prowler. Robert felt goosebumps rise all over his body. Oh, wait a minute, he said. Mike just sighed. I knew you wouldn't believe me. But this creature's been reported one place one minute and 30 miles away just a minute later. Well, Robert wasn't buying the ghost theory. I mean, even though he'd actually been wondering about it himself just a few minutes ago. Now that Mike was, you know, actually saying it, it just didn't make sense. Nobody believes in ghosts. Ah, use your head, Mike, Robert said. There's no such thing as ghosts. Mike said, then tell me how come these reports are all of a sudden showing up all over the state. And Robert, he just sort of chuckled. Well, somebody's been making up stories. But tell me this, Mike. What are the police doing about all of this? Well, Mike said, I hear they brought in a pack of hound dogs. They were actually out last night tracking the thing. They caught its trail up there on the mountain. Whew, Robert said, remembering Duke and Blackie's weird behavior. What about out by the river? Anybody seen it out there? Yep, Mike replied. Some kids were fishing in there the other day, and the thing popped right out of the water at them. They ran, but they sure were scared. Boy, that's for sure. Well, since then, most parents haven't let their kids out after dinner. Businesses are even talking about closing once the sun goes down. You'd better warn that daughter of yours. Robert looked at his watch. It was almost 4, and he'd promised Kathy that he'd stop by the river for their water supply. Oh, by the way, Mike said as Robert was leaving, I'm going out tonight with some of the men from town. We're going to try to catch this preacher that's scaring everybody to death. Want to go with us? Robert thought for a minute, and then he said, well, when you're sure what it is you're looking for, I'll go along. See you later. Actually, what he was really thinking was that he wanted to hurry home to make sure Kathy was okay. But when he got there, oh, she was nowhere to be found. I mean, nowhere. He tried to calm himself as he went to the back of the house, and he was calling, Kathy! Kathy! But she wasn't there either. And neither were the water buckets he'd intended to take to the river. Now he reminded himself of his promise, never, never to let fear overpower him again. Mike's talk was just making him nervous, that's all. Kathy's fine, he told himself. She's probably on her way to the river right now to get water for him. He could catch up with her easy if he hurried. How many times had he told her, though, never to go to the river alone? Wasn't that just like Kathy, so doggone hard-headed? And he hurried across the clearing and into the forest, taking the shortcut, you know, that led through the trail. Well, it took 10 minutes. Boy, was he starting to sweat. He looked at his watch, nearly 5 o'clock. And the sun was setting. Where was Kathy? Well, she was further ahead of him than he'd imagined. Doggone it, she shouldn't have taken off by herself. Finally, by the light of the rising moon, he saw her up ahead of him. Right there she was, on the trail. She appeared to be pulling along a small wagon with their water buckets in it. He could even hear her humming as she walked, and he grinned in relief. Oh, what a jerk I am, he said to himself. I let fear do it to me again. All at once, Kathy stopped, and she just stood stock still in the middle of the path. Something was wrong. Robert hurried toward her, but just as he started to call out her name, he clamped his hand over his mouth. Something was crouched in front of her, and it was the biggest panther he'd ever seen. Oh, Robert felt sweat pour down his face, and I mean his legs were shaking. The monstrous creature was ready to leap on Kathy. Robert grabbed a rock and he hurled it with all of his might, and it struck the panther with a mighty thud. Kathy turned just then, and she saw her daddy, but Robert put a finger to his lips for her to be quiet. Shh. If she made so much as a sound, the panther was sure to claw her to death. Well, surprised by the attack on him, the huge animal turned its head to see who had thrown it. Then it reared up on its hind legs, and in the moonlight, Robert saw that it was yellowish and taller than any man he'd ever seen. Well, Robert had no weapon on him, no gun, no knife, nothing. For a split second, he and that mean-eyed creature, they stared at one another. And all of a sudden, that panther reminded him so much of the bear that had almost killed his little brother Eddie. And just as the bear had growled and shown its long, sharp teeth at Eddie, The panther now did the very same thing to Kathy. Its teeth glistened in the moonlight. Without a gun or a knife or even another rock, Robert used the only thing he had as a weapon, his body. He hurled himself at the robber, shouting, "Run, Kathy, run!" As he threw himself on the terrible beast. And I mean, he hit it right in its midsection. And he knew that at any second he'd feel sharp teeth tearing into his head and face. But his daughter's safety, that was all he could think about. She had to get away. Run, Kathy, run! But to his amazement, his body passed right through that of the panther. The animal just melted away. Kathy stopped in her tracks. "Daddy, is it really gone?" Robert looked around in shock. "Yeah," he said, "it is. It's really gone." "Are you hurt?" Kathy asked. And he said, "No." But his mind was on the words his friend had said just a while ago. Remember what he said? Mike, remember? He said, "Some people think it's the ghost of an ancient prowler." Were there really such things? Robert bent down to study the footprints left by the giant panther, and you know what? There weren't any. Nope, not a one. Well, his daughter was hugging him and saying, "Oh, Daddy, Daddy, you are the bravest man in the world." And Robert still wasn't really sure what had just happened. The guilty feeling he'd had about his little brother and the bear, though, that finally disappeared because this time he was stronger than his fear, and he had won the battle with the ghost of the ancient prowler. And you know what? Really, this is true. I think it's true. If you're ever in a place called Sakachake Valley between Cross Valley, Tennessee and Bridgeport, Alabama, you just might want to stop by the Cumberland Mountains, because the old-timers there will tell you it's the absolute truth. There really is a ghost, because most of them have seen for themselves the ancient prowler of Cumberland.
Prowler of the Cumberland was adapted for 227 Treehouse Lane by Esther Luttrell. Music was composed and performed by David Randa of Fesslian Studios. And this is Patrick McGranahan, inviting you to come back for more stories high above common ground, where no one lives but you and your imagination.
Mojave Beach Productions.
I just want to take a moment to thank you for soaring with us on the wings of imagination as you listen to stories we're having so much fun creating for you. If you enjoy what you hear, take a moment to subscribe to Mojave Beach Productions on your favorite podcast app. And thanks a million.